ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fillmore in 1966. Maybe 78. I don't know. I like
that. That was really disparate. Yeah. 66 or 78.
I don't know why. I prefer to say the 60s feels cool, but yeah, it was like a 70s.
I think it's a 70s one.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's got like that jaunty vibe to it.
Already off to a terrible start.
No, it's good.
Oh, last week.
We think it's good.
Good. I'm glad. Last week, I just didn't say anything. It came up and it was quiet.
Better.
This is good.
Welcome back to the Young Turks. We're on the second hour with myself, Brett Ehrlich, Kim Horcher, and Ambria Allen.
My chair's too low.
Oh no. We got problems. We got problems with the seat. We'll give it to someone else. We'll be talking about that. We've got a great show for you, a second hour lined up. We got Mika. I had a rhyme. Anyways, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough are engaged.
Oh.
We've got a baby IUD. We've got another problem on a plane and video to go along with it, with people getting thrown off. A lot to discuss. But first, let's do some member shout outs. We got Russell Evans and Yvonne Lefebvre. You are our faves. Thank you.
You're on a roll today.
I don't know. This is the last of 4 days that I will be on the second hour this week.
Wearing this outfit. He's worn this every day since Monday.
What, is there a dare happening?
I mean, no one dared you. No one asked you to do this.
Well, we were talking about before how it's so cold in here. And the
terrible rationale.
And I was wearing it. Well, the first day I was here and I wasn't supposed to do the second hour, but they brought me in and I was like, oh, it's freezing in the studio for that time of day. So I went into my car and I put this in my car because it doesn't wrinkle. And now we're on day four of it because it's kind of a joke.
It's hilarious.
Just like my career.
You're taking oh so seriously.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining us. Go to tytnetwork.com/join right now to sign up because we have a lot of cool stuff. Kim might not be joining us for the post game, but Ambria, can you join us for the post game?
I'll be here.
All right. Yay. I want to talk to you in the post game about doctoral candidate stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, cool. So we're just going to get right into it. Tweet us at hashtag TYTLive, and we'll read that after the break. Let's get into it. It's hard to tell just what the ultimate sign of the apocalypse is, but it might just be this. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, co-hosts of Morning Joe on MSNBC, some people's favorite show, a lot of people's least favorite show, have announced that they are, in fact, engaged. They had a kind of, there's definitely a chemistry between the two. It started, some noticed, by a lot of eye rolls at him, and then they became loving eye rolls over a certain amount of time. Vanity Fair broke the story, as Mika tells them, everybody talks about how there was always something there. Over the past year and a half, I realized I had to face these feelings. And that it was time to stop putting them in a box, phrasing. It was not an easy process, and it was not an easy set of decisions for either of us. It was something I just couldn't deny anymore. And so they were together. There was an announcement. And then they went to France together for her 50th birthday, it seems. And then, as she puts it, when I saw him on one knee, I started laughing nervously, almost hysterically. And then he asked, and I said, absolutely. The little cherry on top of this discussion is they were having dinner with the president, President Trump, and he made an offer to them. According to the Vanity Fair article, if they planned on getting married, they should consider doing so at Mar-a-Lago or the White House, is what they recalled Trump saying. And that's when Jared interrupted and said, hey, you know what? I got my license. I could marry you. And then Trump snapped back after that. Why would you marry them? They could have the president of the United States marry them. So there you have it, guys. How do you feel when I tell you that Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are engaged?
Well, it's great to see that a Republican and a Democrat can just get over their differences and come together if they're both in the 1%. I mean, it's just like, who cares?
Two people
on an unbearable show are together now, officially.
Right.
And getting married again. Mm. So it's like,
Right. Yeah. See, I like this stuff. I didn't choose to make it the first story that we talked about. though, I think because they know I like this stuff, I watch a lot of morning television. And I like to watch, like, you know, Kelly and her new, and her various co-hosts.
It's Ryan Seacrest now, right?
Ryan Seacrest now. But the thing about Joe Scarborough in the morning with Mika is that, unfortunately, since it's the first thing that happens in the morning, so often it ends up dictating what the rest of the day is going to be. Because it's this long show, and they get the interviews first. And those interviews end up being the sound bites. And those sound bites end up getting played for the rest of the day.
Mm.
Do you guys watch any cable television?
Not anymore. But maybe they should take Trump up on his offer, because Trump basically owes them for giving him all that access to be on their show and talk about birther stuff and other arrogant nonsense.
Is that where the
they? I think Joe basically made him relevant in a period where he wasn't really.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I didn't even give him a platform to talk about.
That's the thing.
Stuff.
They just talk over Starbucks for so long that I just tune out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I am apathetic. Apathetic about them and their marriage and the fact that it is a story that we care that news anchors are getting married, that that's now a thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump has offered to, first of all, who's passing out licenses to
you can go online and get one right now.
So
it's
okay,
really
so
easy.
The threshold is okay. If any Trump offers, you should fear for the longevity of your marriage.
Right. Yeah. And Jared Kushner jumped in to say, I'll marry them. And Trump said no, which is the first time that Trump has not delegated a responsibility to Jared Kushner. He literally has to do every other thing that anyone in the White House might have to do. Mm-hmm. There were some good tweets about this, and then we'll move on. We spent too much time on it already, but I'll move on. But the only way to make this worse is, imagine if the next year of Morning Joe is all about wedding planning.
Oh my gosh.
Good God, that's the worst. And then Brian Stelter.
Ooh, do you think they'll do it on the air?
oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. That's like if Lady Di and Charles was like the most watched wedding of all time, then this would be the least watched television wedding of all time. And so Brian Stelter tried to give what's called a portmanteau, which is when you put two words together like spork or brangelina. But Brzezinski, Joka, Skarzinski, Miko. I know
that's Pocahontas' raccoon. You can't have that.
This is bad. Do you think if they get divorced that it'll increase the likelihood that the show will get canceled? Because then that...
I think the show would get more interesting if they got divorced.
Really?
Maybe this is all just a ratings ploy.
Yeah, today on MSNBC, they were talking about how the ratings were up across the board on MSNBC. So who knows? Let's move on, shall we?
Let's.
All right. You've heard of being born with a silver spoon in your mouth. But what about being born with an IUD in your hand? This photo went around the internet most recently, and it's a photo of a newborn baby holding, that is an intrauterine device, an IUD, a form of birth control that lasts anywhere from 5 to 10 years. Or not at all in this case. Issa girl wrote, LMA, laughing my ass off, the baby holding the damn birth control. And a lot of people, 46,000 thought that this, and others online thought that this was actually what happened, is a baby was born holding the IUD in their hand. According to Snopes and medicine/science, no, that's not the case. According to the mom, Dexter, the little baby Dexter Helene was definitely meant to be. His original due date was May 4th, and even the doctor said the force was strong in this one. May the 4th be with you. Here's a photo of the baby and mother, happy, healthy. Apparently, the mother was using contraception. They have kids together, but this one got by. She had it implanted, and like 16 weeks later, she got a check, and the doctor said, yeah, you are six, or later on, the doctor was like, yeah, you're 16 weeks pregnant. That's 3 months. That's insane.
So is this viral because the birth control failed, or is it viral because of the idea that the IUD could pierce the amniotic sac and no fluids would come out, the baby would be healthy, and the baby would grab it?
I think it's just the idea that the baby would have a little IUD in their hand.
Like, you can't stop me.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I just imagine her, because getting an IUD, right, is a process, right? You have to go in and it's a procedure. And then to start feeling the symptoms of being pregnant and telling yourself like,
oh, that would suck.
I know I'm not pregnant. Like, yeah. I know I'm not. But you are in fact pregnant. Like she's handling it quite well given that she had a baby.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. That's so crazy. Yeah, because of the birth controls.
That's the most easy to deal with, you know, besides the procedure of putting it in.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. You don't worry for 5 years, you know, you're supposed to have trouble conceiving even after that, like immediately after that.
Wow. Yeah, so this is from the UK's National Health Service, the effectiveness of contraception. So look at those are all in the 90s. Male sterilization, AKA the snippy snip, 1 in 2,000 men. Are capable of becoming fertile again, which is.
Did you write this graphic?
I only changed snippy snippy. 1 in 2,000 men is capable of becoming fertile again, but look at all those. The IUD is 99% plus, like more than 99% accurate, you know, effective, and it lasts 5 to 10 years. But those are for anyone who is wondering how effective are contraceptives. Take a minute. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how you can not get pregnant if you put those things in there.
It was okay.
It was okay.
8 out of 10.
But yeah, that's it. And so yeah, the baby was 9 pounds, 1 ounce. So it was a C-section. That's so much.
Is it?
That's 7 pounds.
I weighed 8 something.
I weighed 9 and a half, but my
that's
mom was
a
like,
lot.
"You didn't. We had to go get you."
So then, if an IUD gets lost, do you only know it's lost when you get pregnant?
Well,
in some cases they have discovered a failed IUD, like in such births as this, but I don't know. Are there cases?
So I can only infer from how the doctor involved explained what they thought might have happened that led to this. And the doctor said they thought that maybe it was possible that the IUD fell out. That happens. All those numbers that you saw are when those are used effectively. Natural family planning was on that graphic, and that needs to be, you know, very well planned. You have to, you know, take samples of body fluids and monitor temperatures to make sure that you have the right time, and that can be up to 99% effective. But as you said, the set it and forget it aspect of birth control.
It seemed like she didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
No, it seems as though it displaced or dislodged itself from its, you know, intended location,
right,
which caused the failure.
And then you have to have it implanted, I think it's a certain amount of time, you know.
Sure.
Ask Planned Parenthood while it's still around.
Oh.
How long ahead of time? Because if you don't do it at the right time in your cycle, ladies,
sure,
I'll be an expert on this. If you don't do it at the right time, then you can already have ovulated and
right,
it would be too late on that.
Sure.
That particular cycle. This is important, though. The idea of this, I think, to your point, asking, like, did it go viral because people say that contraception doesn't work? Mm-hmm. We did a story yesterday on the show. Teresa Manning was recently appointed as
I
the.
I was in that story.
Yeah. Said the Assistant Secretary of Population of. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. You were there.
Yeah.
Of the new Assistant Secretary, the appointed new Assistant Secretary of Population. And who administers Title X and gives out birth control was quoted once as saying, of course contraception doesn't work. Its efficacy is very low. The prospect that contraception would always prevent the conception of a child is preposterous. But hopefully, I mean.
So that logic is if it doesn't work 100% of the time, use it 0% of the time, which is stupid.
Yeah. So take it from us. Contraception is effective. You should use redundant forms of contraception just to make sure. And yeah, that's that story. So. But the baby's cute, little Dexter, huh? All right, we're gonna move on to the next story. All right, another day, another video of a family on a flight and interactions with flight attendants and airport personnel over whether or not they deserve to be on that flight or should be taken off. Now, this is the story of a family from Huntington Beach, California. The name of the man, the father, is Brian Shear. They were flying from Maui to Los Angeles after a vacation. And as the story goes, he had bought enough seats for his entire family, and he has a one-year-old, and that one-year-old originally was planned to be a lap baby held by the mother. But in order to have the baby sit on a seat next to him, and the mom, and you know, otherwise the baby would just cry the whole time if it didn't have its own seat, he got his older son to fly the day earlier with the plan that they would then put the baby in the older son's seat that has now been vacated. And it just kind of escalated, even though he seems pretty calm. Take a look at this video.
So their policy is if you're not going to abide, you're going to have to get off the plane. You have to deep.
Well, then they can remove me off the plane.
You and your whole family.
So yeah, that's fine. Then it's going to be a federal offense, and then you and your wife will be in jail, and your kids will be.
So my kid, we're going to be in jail, and my kids are going to be what?
It's a federal offense if you don't abide by.
I bought that seat.
I understand. It's your Mason's out here.
Right. I got him a ticket on another flight so that my son would have a seat. And you're saying you're just gonna give that away to someone else that when I paid for that seat, that's not right.
I understand, but that Mason's not here, so the seat shows you.
You need to do what's right.
Yeah.
I bought the seat, and you need to just leave us alone.
Sir, Mason's not here, so Mason cannot be the one that owns the seat.
I paid for the seat. I bought the seat. You can look and see. It's my son.
So it moved on from there. He is keeping his cool, trying to explain the situation, as is whoever that is, someone from the airline. And then Jenna shows up. Jenna seems to be kind of a supervisor there to introduce herself and make the situation better. Whether that happened or not, judge for yourself. Take a look.
I know you guys are frustrated. Hi, I'm sorry. I already know the situation. I've heard your guys' and I know the man. Other than what's going on, is there anything else I can do? I know you guys are frustrated right now. Basically, what it comes down to is not adult people, it's FAA because he's two and under.
Okay, I got a solution. He can sit in her lap.
Right.
Okay, and then we can take off, and then we can put him back in the car seat. That's what FAA rules are.
No,
the bottom line
with him being, no, they're not. We're pulling him up right now. With him being two, he cannot sit in the car seat. That's the purpose of infant arms. He has to sit in your arms the whole time.
All right. Another one of these videos. What do you think?
Okay, there's a lot of confusing things going on in this video. One, Delta's website does not recommend you hold a child in your lap the whole time. That can be dangerous if you need to use your arms for whatever reason, an emergency situation. And Jenna was wrong about the FAA regulation. However, that child wasn't two, so that's also wrong information. It's very confusing.
Yes, there's a lot going on. I reached out to Brian. He did not respond by the time we shot, but here's the rule on having a child on board. If your child is under 25 months, so anywhere after 4 months and over, that child can be in your lap. And if that child's in your lap, you need to just print another boarding pass with that child's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there, it says INF on the boarding pass. You sit there with the child.
Is this the FAA rule or the Delta rule?
This is the FAA rules, is that if a child's under 25 months, it can either be in your lap or in an official airline car seat. Now, he posted photos that both his children had those official car seats.
Mm-hmm.
That said, he thought that he could not tell anyone. And since he bought his 18-year-old son Mason's seat, he could take his one-year-old and put his one-year-old in that seat.
Mm-hmm.
That violates FAA regulations. If you sit in that seat, If you have a seat on the plane, mm-hmm. it better be under your name.
Right. Oh, it's because the boarding pass was in Mason's name, not the one-year-old's name.
Yes.
Right.
Because, I looked into this too. Delta doesn't allow you to transfer tickets at all. So
correct.
They would have to cancel that and then buy another one if they expected to use that. However, I don't think, they shouldn't have done that. But on the other side of that, Delta shouldn't have been acting like that. Delta shouldn't have given them wrong information from the FAA and threatened to have their children thrown into foster care because of this. That was too aggressive.
Right.
Agree.
Go ahead.
No, I think the tactics are way too aggressive. The seat was purchased. I understand the issue with the boarding pass. But provide that information, not false information. And then let's take recourse to either remunerate me for the ticket that I purchased or arrange, something has to be arranged within the guidelines and not telling me that if that, you know, I can go to jail and that my wife can go to jail, who's not even in the shot, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You don't know where she's sitting. Like,
she's
you don't
right
know.
Across from him, like, filming, but yeah.
It's ridiculous. Is this a Western? Like, you're gonna go to jail, your family's going to jail, your kids are going to
and
hospital.
And it's a federal offense.
Is it?
It is.
I mean, what they said.
Technically, these things are, it's FAA regulation, so mm-hmm. it's the F is that, so it's federal. But
sure.
It is definitely not the kind of high level plain things people are afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because I think that the Delta person who is trying to communicate this, Jenna, has obviously gone to some kind of training where they tell you to say things like, I understand what you're feeling. I'm trying to help you people out here. Let's find a solution. But then her solutions are not solutions.
Yeah.
Here's where
your solution is get off now or I am going to throw your children in foster care and your wife's going to jail.
Here's where Brian Scheer just lays a total burn on Jenna.
It's out of my hands now. I'm just letting you know from this point on, this plane will not go anywhere until you guys choose to. Now you can stay here and we can all just chill here. I'm just trying to help you. This is all I can do. It's only in my hands now.
Trying to help us would have been not a worse on the flight and not trying to force us to get him out of that seat that I paid for and holding this whole plane up. It would have been a lot easier for you guys to just say, not have that standby come
right.
down and we could be on our way.
You don't have to be terrible.
Yeah, this is something that I think what Delta will find out first is if he bought an additional ticket for Mason to go earlier mm-hmm. or changed Mason's flight. Because if you're changing the flight, you no longer have that seat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the case since he seems to have had all the boarding passes.
I think he bought an extra ticket for Mason.
Right. But just for people out there who think that since I, Brett Ehrlich, bought, if I have two kids, if I bought tickets for them, then any of my children can use those tickets. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. The boarding pass has to coincide with the person
sure.
who's sitting there. That's what
But if you make a minor offense like this, or if you, you know, maybe you don't understand, do you deserve to be screamed at like that? And
she wasn't
threatened?
Screaming.
Sorry, that's not fair. Threatened like that and basically, you know, strong-armed. Like,
right.
if you don't get off now, this whole plane of people is going to be angry at you because we refuse to move.
Also, I don't care. Like, I'll play chicken with you. Don't give me, again, solutions that aren't solutions. Like, well, we'll just sit here. Well, I guess we'll sit here
right.
until we figure it out. Like, it's a weak claim. I don't care that other people are inconvenienced by your policies or your inability to clearly explain what those policies are so we can expedite the flight. Don't put it on me.
Right.
I don't work here.
That's like how you bully kids in a class,
right.
I think. And it's just like, what are you doing?
So
we paid
go to
be
recess.
Here. We're adults.
The end of the video is the father offering to do the original agreement, mm-hmm. which is to have the baby sit in the lap. But by then, it's escalated so high in the mind of the Delta folks that they're already moving on. And he has to leave the plane. The family got up, got out of the plane, and they had to stay the night in Maui. And he points out, he's like, I don't have a car. I don't have a hotel. This is the last flight of the day. He spent $2,000
wow.
on that. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think Delta is going to do?
They're going to release some kind of stupid non-apology and people are going to get angry with them and then maybe something will happen, but probably not.
Really? Ambria?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're kind of in hot water this week. Didn't they have a pilot who hit someone trying to break up a flight or a fight in Atlanta?
Was that a Delta person?
Yes,
yeah.
That was a Delta pilot. So they need to do something. They need to issue a couple of statements.
What airline hasn't had this kind of incident?
Virgin America.
Virgin.
My favorite, which is not around for much longer.
Yeah, Alaska Airlines now.
Sure. That's the same thing.
Have you guys had travel disasters? Like any kind of terrible situation even remotely resembling this?
No.
I've been really lucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. I know a lot of flight attendants. And that's how I know all the FAA regulations.
Yeah,
and they were telling me like, it's terrible. It is the worst just because, like, there was one story that I just heard about someone who was clearly tweaking out on meth who pulled out his junk in the middle of the flight, peed in a bottle, drank it, then got up, was escorted out, tried to talk to the police. The police told him, sir, we're talking. You can't go to the bathroom right now. Pulled down his pants, laid a number two in the middle of the San Francisco airport. This is the kind of stuff that flight attendants put up with a lot of the time. And I just hope, and everyone knows the kinds of things that travelers have to put up with a lot of the time. And I think these are the situations, I don't know, not necessarily this one. These are the situations where like everyone's kind of at the end of their rope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or someone at the wrong time has reached that level.
Of course.
And some people have been flying for dozens of years. And without certain pay raises, I know people who, as flight attendants, have, because of mergers, lost their pensions, just because that's how it shook out. And so their life is kind of messed up, and so they're trying to figure out what to do, and they thought they were going to retire soon, and now they can't. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot that people have to think through. But I do think in this situation, Delta needed to train Jenna way better because she is not providing solutions. Mm. All right, we are going to take a break. Don't go away. Tweet us at hashtag TYT Live, and we might read it when we come back. Hello. Welcome back to the Young Turks. Everyone, put your phone down.
I wanted to see hashtag TYT Live.
Do it. Bring it up. We're going to read some tweets. Dan1200, who called us out for having the wrong image on one of our thumbnails.
Oh, no.
Who is our fact checker, I would like to say, just tweeted, oh, so 16 weeks equals 3 months. I never knew that. So, yeah, I said 16 weeks and 3 months. It is 4 months. Sorry about that. And then no more donations tweets in to hashtag TYT Live. Damn, Delta, apologies sound a lot like sorry, not sorry. Yeah, they did have a kind of thing to it. It was like, we're sorry about the experience you had.
The Drunken Monks asks, is Brett homeless now?
No. No, but I could be. I'm wearing a different shirt, everyone, underneath. As you can see, this is, since it's May the 4th, I'm wearing this.
Secretly.
Secret Star Wars stuff. And you have your Star Wars regalia.
I'm wearing Rey's sweater from the end, but it's not, it keeps falling down and I don't look as cool as her. Yeah.
Where did you get that?
I got it on Etsy I went to this fashion show at LA Comic Con. Because my boyfriend was Aquaman in that fashion show. And there was someone else called Elhoffer Designs that made this.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Elhoffer Design. Amber, why are you not wearing some May the 4th?
Similar to the Morning Joe story, I am also apathetic. No, I've not seen one Star Wars film.
Are you serious?
We got to come up with a plan of which order she should watch them.
There's, I'm too far gone, y'all.
No, it's not hard. No, it's not. No. They're just 2 hours each. It's not like watching a whole series of television shows.
That's true.
You could do it.
My husband tried to get me to watch Rogue One because he was like, "You don't have to know," and there, it still was just a little strange. I was like, "What are these guns, robots?"
Yeah.
But people.
Ooh, this would be a good life series.
I think my imagination needs work before I can, you know.
That would be an amazing live stream.
To watch me watch
for the first time with you. And you'd be like, who is that guy?
Right.
Why does this work?
It's so bad.
Yeah, I wonder because the temptation is to make you watch it all chronologically.
Don't. No, there's like an official way of watching it.
What is it? You know.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Is it?
It's not the order it was made. Okay. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's like probably, it's got to, I think how they were made, excluding the prequels, is fine. Because all the new ones are
chronologically after
six. I think you watch 4, 5, and 6, then you watch Rogue One, and then you watch the new one.
So not like Batman and like The Dark Knight, which I did do.
You did that?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
But it's not. It's no. It's not the great. Same.
There's a good order for this, and someone on the internet is screaming right now because they know it.
Yeah, they
us. If we take another break sometime during the show, when we come back from that break, maybe we'll bring it up.
Yeah, and help me get it together, because apparently I'm just not American. So.
No. It's for everyone. it's for the people.
Here we go. And there's another, just one more tweet from NTO Picks, tweeted hashtag TYT Live. I predict sea cruises are going to become much more popular if airlines keep trolling their own passengers. It's crazy, but if every airline has trolled the passenger and it takes a week and a half to get to Hawaii, mm-hmm. you're probably going to fly. All right, yeah. Let's get into the next story. Okay. Two North Carolina high school students have been arrested for impersonating a 35-year-old man on Grindr as a way to get their French teacher to send them naked pictures. The teacher's name is David Laughinghouse. And yeah, the story broke around school. He was suspended with pay, and the kids have been arrested. They're both 16 years old, and the Onslow County School District released this statement saying the students and staff involved in this situation deserve their privacy and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. This has been very disruptive to the learning environment of Swansboro High School and has caused real harm. Therefore, as we move forward as a community, we urge everyone to treat this situation and the individuals involved with the same courtesy and sensitivity that you would want if you or a member of your family was involved. And not just that, a former student of that teacher started an online petition, and she says this in the online petition. I could never imagine what was going through those students' minds when they decided to target a supportive teacher, but I can only believe that they did not understand the gravity of their actions. I don't want to use this letter to make excuses for a group of children who made a terrible mistake, but the thing is, I know that's exactly what Mr. Laughinghouse would do to make an impact on their lives. Mr. Laughinghouse is always there quietly serving as a hero to students in need, from small things like buying lunch for students who forgot their money at home to bigger actions like helping a student struggling with problems at home. So yeah, that's the story. That's where they're at right now. What do you think?
It is hard to, like on Samantha's point, to judge what a couple children were doing, what motivated this. It wouldn't be a stretch to say that this was motivated in trying to shame him for being homosexual or trying to get him in trouble for sending lewd pictures to a minor or at least trying to embarrass him. She says, I don't think they understood the weight of what they were doing. I kind of think they might have. This is messed up. You don't accidentally make a Grindr account and find your teacher mm-hmm. and try to solicit inappropriate pictures. This seems like they knew exactly what they were doing.
Ambria, you agree?
I agree that there had to be some kind of malintent, right?
Something's not right.
Agreed. And I think it's unfortunate that the teacher has been suspended, but obviously that's because this incident has been disruptive to the classroom.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can re-enter not only the school, the district. I'm sure the story has, penetrated the more choice
so
of words.
So to speak. But yeah, no, it has.
But I just wonder how he's going to, post issue, how he's going to kind of reintegrate himself back into the teaching community.
He better not be kicked out for this because he didn't do anything knowingly wrong.
I would assume it was since it's with pay, I think I would hope that it's just because they're saying, okay, this has got to be traumatic with you.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to walk by snickering and doing whatever they do.
Yeah.
And it might be best if he kind of mm-hmm. steps away. But the question is, this is a dating app. Grindr's a dating app. Mm-hmm. And if you live in the neighborhood, you might come across a dating profile for someone. Should teachers with students have, regardless if it's Grindr or Tinder or anything else like mm-hmm. that, should they have dating apps?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're still people. They're not doing this at school. They're not like trying to, get with a student. It looks like he thought that this was a 35-year-old man, which is perfectly fine.
What would you do if this was you?
I'd be really upset.
But what would you do? So you see the kids, you walk into school, mm-hmm. they're if the first day as they're trying to figure out who it is, and while you're in class with those kids, you find out that the police are coming in to arrest them for doing this to you. What do you say to those kids?
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't think that you say anything to the children. And I'm calling them children. They're 16.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
That's fair, too.
They have a level of awareness. I mean, they're not the sharpest or maybe not cognizant of even some of the legal ramifications, right? You mentioned them being 16 and, you know, they're not considered adults, right? So I'm not sure that they were considering that at the time.
They could be tried as adults.
But I wouldn't engage them. The issue and what I was pointing to is how do you navigate the stigma after this? Mm. You know, I don't think the school is going to fire him, but how do you navigate that stigma? How do you maintain professionalism in a context where it's already difficult to do that because they're 16?
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Now I feel like I'm 1,000 years old when I'm like, oh my gosh, they have apps now and they're finding naked pictures of people. Yeah. When I was in high school, one of our teachers was on the show Blind Date.
Oh,
yeah.
Which in that situation, I'm like, you did that to yourself. She went on Blind Date and she did during the date, and Blind Date for people who haven't seen it, it's like the dating game or like the love connection, but you actually go along with them on the date. So you see every embarrassing thing that occurs.
And there's little stupid
windows that pop
pop-ups, up. Like pop
That's
up video.
Right, like in a bubble.
Just to like make fun of you, essentially, mm-hmm. on the way. But she decided as a teacher to 16-year-old kids to go do that. And on the date, she did a pole dance. And it was like, why would you?
You should certainly conduct yourself in a way publicly.
Right.
That wouldn't hurt your employment in any way. And that's true of almost every job.
Mm-hmm.
So what's Grindr's responsibility in this situation? The police come knocking and say, who was it? What do you think?
Well, Grindr, don't they say they cooperate with police?
Right, yeah.
Like
this is
a public open app.
This is their statement. They said, we are constantly improving upon this process to try to cooperate with police. This after saying they're committed to creating a safe environment through a system of digital and human screening tools. They say, we are constantly improving upon this process. It is important to remember that Grindr is an open platform. Grindr cooperates with law enforcement on a regular basis and does not condone abusive or violent behavior.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, we covered a story a couple weeks ago where, you know, Grindr is, they create a context in which people can abuse their app, right? So are they liable? No. But when you release statements that say that we are constantly improving, you need to demonstrate to the public those measures that you are improving upon, right? What are you actually doing? Because as it stands now, it's after the fact. You have to cooperate with law enforcement because crimes have been committed. So what are you doing? What measures are you taking to protect folks who abuse, you know, your app? And I think they need to do a little bit more in terms of letting the public know this is what we're doing. Because as it stands, you can just report something as inappropriate and that goes to wherever.
Right.
Space.
Damage could be done already.
Yeah.
There was a case at Duquesne University. There was a grad student who disappeared and died and was found dead later. And the parents were angry that Grindr only provided the minimum amount required by law. But it is one of those floodgates type situations. There's a law that is probably over a decade old now that does not hold providers of online services responsible for the actions taken by people who use those services. So if someone falsely claims something on Craigslist, they can't necessarily hold Craigslist responsible. And a lot of the folks that are fighting against that are saying things like, well, isn't it negligence if you do not have the right protocols in place to make sure that no one's taking advantage of it, and you're making sure you're ensuring that these are human beings, that they are who they say they are, and that and so in that situation, it seems like it might be time to update the laws at least a
absolutely
little bit around the
fringe. Or for someone to intervene and create a better app that takes the weaknesses of Grindr and makes something that actually is functional and
spells Grindr right. There's an E in there. Just kidding.
Another important point.
Sorry, none of my points are ever important.
No, that's not true.
To everyone. All right, let's move on. The International Basketball Federation has changed its rules to allow national teams to wear, and women who play on those national teams to wear hijabs when they play basketball internationally. Now, this is a new regulation that's going into effect October 1st. after a 2-year test to allow certain teams to do it. And here is that new protection, according to the FIBA website. It is the provision of the new rule. The provisions mean that headgear is allowed when it is black or white or of the same dominant color as that of the uniform. It is one same color for all players on the team as all accessories. So you can't wear a hijab that's the same color as the other team so that when someone looks up out of the side of their eye, they see you and pass you the ball. Mm-hmm. I really like that rule. That's like a very like sports. All right, I know. No. Everybody tries to cheat. And it does not cover any part of the face, eyes, nose, lips. It is not dangerous to the player wearing it and or to other players. It has no opening or closing elements around the face or neck. It has no parts extruding from its surface. And this comes after the Qatari women's basketball team had to pull out of the Asia games in September 2014 because they were going to wear hijabs and they weren't allowed to. What do you think?
I want to understand how a hijab, a yarmulke, a turban could possibly get in the way or injure another player.
I will say we played against Servite, which is a Jewish school in Anaheim, I think, and yarmulkes fall off all the time. And yeah. So you frequently have to just stop and pick them up if your hair is not long enough to hold that down. Okay. So that's that one I get. Hijabs, it's like it seems like it's way more of an inconvenience.
It's
to the player who's wearing it. It doesn't give you any kind, it's not gonna come off.
Right.
What do you think, Amber?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a safety measure. And, you know, I'm critical of, you know, sports associations who say they have the safety of the player in mind when they, you know, adopt certain regulations all the time. So anything that allows women to play sports, just let's get it done. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you. Here's one perspective of Indira Kalyo, who is a Bosnian American basketball player. She said, I shouldn't have to decide between faith and sports, and not just me, players around the world. Couldn't agree more. And then there was another player who was able to wear a hijab during her college years and couldn't sign on for an international contract to play in Europe because of this very regulation. Here's a list of organizations that do allow religious headwear. FIFA does, which is like the only good thing I've ever heard FIFA do.
Aww. The video games are good.
Video games are really good. The IOC, the International Olympic Committee, but it's the Olympics, and they did that through the following two, which is the International Judo Federation in 2016 and the Olympic Fencing. There was a woman with a hijab that participated in that, as well as the American Boxing Federation. And that was just last week. So there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to do this, as long as it doesn't interfere with the game or constitute cheating by wearing the other team's color. Like you mentioned earlier, the only threat it would do would be maybe if you were really ignorant and you don't understand what a hijab is and you have a lot of preconceived notions about what it could mean about these players, about these other people. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know about sports, but aren't international support supposed to unite people?
Yes. Yeah, it's great to see these kinds of things. And there was a story in Iran on April 13th. As you know, it was like tacked on to the end of this announcement by FIBA that for the first time ever, men could see a women's basketball game live, person. Mm-hmm. It's the first time they went to do that. So I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, this is pretty straightforward. It's about time.
Yeah, what takes so long?
You have to realize that when the way other people live their lives should not threaten or hurt or make you feel insecure about the way you live your life.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's really simple.
I read, so we did that story about in Boston, they had, we talked about the racist things that were yelled at a black baseball player who was on the Orioles at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. And then started doing some research. There was actually a video by Ricky Strom, who's worked for TYT. You should see his Facebook page because he does a video a day. And he just looked it up. It took 10 extra years after Jackie Robinson for the Red Sox to have an integrated baseball team. And that's crazy, crazy to me. All right, let's move on to our final story, which I think is pretty awesome. Do you fidget? Yes. Some people do, whether it's going like this, which I used to do all the time, and still do, and occasionally on this show, you'll just see like it just fly out of my hand and hit Kim. Well, there are a few new fads out there that help kids with fidgeting in class. Here's one of them. It's called the fidget cube.
Yes.
This is a small little thing that ostensibly helps children with ADHD, autism, to do something with their hands. Now, I don't know if you can see down in the bottom there that originally their goal to do this on Kickstarter was $15,000. The number above that is slightly larger than $15,000. It's $6.5 million.
Yeah.
And I thought we were awesome at TYT because we raised $2
million. Not as awesome as that cube.
Right.
And there's people who are donating to that so they can fidget while they watch this show. But this and another one we'll get to in a minute, it's not universally loved. First of all, what do you guys think? Have you used any of these fidgety things?
I fidget constantly. I've been fidgeting through this show. I'm responsible for breaking this thing on the desk because I keep poking at it and pulling it with my nails. Bart's mad. He does not like this. A lot of people, it's okay, I guess if you have ADD or ADHD or some other, maybe Asperger's, it helps you if you're doing two things to concentrate. Mm-hmm. And which for me, that's definitely true. I've used that cube. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you used
it?
I have not. Wait, what were you saying? Cooking and
no, you click it and like you turn it and you click it another way and it just like you have something to just kind of release
occupy
that
your
nervous tension and energy.
Well, they're a crazily popular fad, and according to the secret teacher at Guardian, not everyone likes them. This is the secret teacher column, which says, when used performatively, students crane their necks to catch glimpses of it. Yet even when used discreetly under the table, I see students glancing down to look at it, mm-hmm. drawn by the various clicking noises. And not just that, but another device which I have here, these are the fidget spinners. The fidget spinner is this, and you spin it. And it goes like that for a long time.
Yes.
I'll pass them out.
Nice.
As I read what one student, same person said. These devices have become the bane of my life. Unlike the well-designed fidget cube, which has a couple of silent functions, these cheaply made spinning alternatives often produce a low whirring sound.
I'm gonna agree, I like the cube better.
But this is quiet, so I would imagine that in class this would be better, but anything in class is gonna be distracting if I'm learning freaking logarithms.
If you want a distraction from something you don't wanna do, you're gonna find
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in a classroom context, anything is gonna be a distraction. But I think these could be particularly helpful for folks, you know, that struggle with not just fidgeting, but harming themselves in their fidgeting. People who kind of like pick their hair or chew on things, like do things that could potentially be harmful. I think this could be a solution. I'm not an expert, but it seems like it could be helpful.
Right. According to the secret teacher, who I think is biased by how loud they seem to be in class and how distracting. So put it on the table.
Oh.
So.
But yeah, it's quiet.
No, it's absolutely silent.
The red, the black one's kind of loud.
Well,
I think it's like
that
there's
broken.
Something loose in there.
Like the implications.
What? Oh no.
No.
Sorry, the African American one's broken.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a progressive television.
I think something might be loose in this one.
That one doesn't work. So you can also grab it here and flip it around.
I like this.
You
I
like
am
it.
Distracted. But
I mean, also, all kids are going to want to play with a toy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
here's just really quick. Here's a quote from Rex Hupka, who wrote in the Chicago Tribune. He's talking about his kid. He wants to obtain more fidget spinners because there's always another spinner that better than the 73 he keeps in his pockets. He asks that we watch him do a fidget spinner trick, and then he fails at that trick because it's physically impossible. Continuing on. Then he asked for my newly upgraded smartphone so he can watch another instructional video for physically impossible fidget spinner tricks, of which there are 19 million.
Oh, wow.
Well, use it correctly, like not how I'm doing now, but don't do what I do.
So there's ones where you throw it up and you catch it.
Okay. It's a lot.
There's a lot. And some of these, I saw one that had 2 million views, multiple that had 2 million views because kids are really into it. I went to Target to try to buy it and he's like, you can't, but my brother got one at 7-Eleven. Go down the street.
It's like the new yo-yo.
Yep. All right. That is all the time we have on the show today. Thank you so much to Kim Horcher and Ambria Allen. Stick around for the post game and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
I always am late.